to sell out to the Lord. You know, I know it's a new year, and you know, I'm sure there are some people here who are here at church because they made a New Year's resolution to be here at church. And I just want to encourage you. You know, we're all at different stages in our spiritual walk with the Lord. But I'm telling you from personal experience, it pays to sell out to the Lord. I mean, just to give Him your all in all. Now, sometimes when you first make that decision, it costs. It may cost friends, it may cost sleep, because maybe you're making a decision to wake up a little bit earlier and to worship or praise or have a devotional. Sometimes it seems like in the short term it may cost. But it's like we were talking about a couple of Sundays ago, you can either live in two kinds of pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And you know, we talked about how the pain of regret is you look back over your life and wish you would have done some things differently. And the pain of discipline is man, I don't feel like doing this, but I know I need to do it, so I'm going to force myself to do it anyway. Maybe it was to wake up this morning and come to church. Force yourself to do it. Once you apply that pain of discipline to your life, you reap the rewards of never having to live in regret. You ever had any of those things you regret? Boy, I know there have been some things in my, well, we don't have to go through those things. Go through 2009 with no regrets by living your life the way God wants you to live it. You know, I heard Lester Summerall make a statement. He was a wonderful man of God. I mean, just an apostle of faith. He was one of my fathers in the faith. He made a statement. He said, you know, I think he made it when he was in his 70s. He said, I look back over my life and there's not one day I would choose to live over again. I heard him make that statement. I thought, my. I wish I could be able to say that. Wish I was able to say that. In that one day of my life, I would look back and say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Well, friends, if we'll make those decisions and follow our heart in making the right choices and the right decisions on who to be around and what to do in this new year, you can live a life of no regrets. Let me tell you something before we get into our message. Our conscience will never lead you astray. That little voice on the inside that deals with you, plucks your heart, it'll never lead you astray. It's trying to get you into the perfect plan of God for your life. So make a decision this new year. Follow your conscience. Follow the voice of the inward man. Today I want to talk to you, all of that was for free. Today I want to talk to you about the subject of vision. Subject of vision. We started it last Sunday, and we want to pick up with it this Sunday. For some reason, for the last couple of years now, the Lord's dealt with me that when you start a new year, always start it with the subject of vision. Subject of vision. What is vision? It is the sight of the mind. It is your imagination going to work to envision your future. I heard Bob Harrison make a statement, and it really changed my life because it was at a time where I needed to hear it. He said, you know, if you want to see more increase, you're going to have to see more increase. If you want to see more increase, you're going to have to see more increase. If you want to see increase in love in your relationships, you're going to have to see it before you see it. You understand what I'm talking about today? If you want to see increase in your business, you're going to have to see increase before you see increase. You're going to have to raise the sight of your mind and expand that vision to see increase before you will ever see increase. The subject of vision. Last week we talked about the cows. You remember the cows? The solid colored cows and the speckled and spotted cows, and the story of Jacob and Laban, how Jacob had worked for Laban for many, many years and finally was looking to go off, and God told Jacob to, in order to get what rightfully belonged to him, to go to Laban and tell Laban, I want all the speckled and spotted livestock. I want them all. You keep all the solid livestock. I want the speckled and spotted livestock. Well, Jacob went and told that to Laban, and Laban said, you got a deal. Because Laban looked over his livestock and saw the majority of them were all solid. But Jacob had a strategy, and this is the most important part. This strategy came from the Lord. The Lord told Jacob, he said, take sticks, break it off of a tree, take sticks and carve in those sticks speckled in spots. Just tear off some bark to where that stick looks speckled and spotted. So Jacob did that. He went over to some trees and tore off some branches and made those branches look like speckled and spotted branches. Then God told him, take those branches and put it in the bottom of the watering trough. So that way that cow is just looking at that that stick that's speckled and spotted for hours every week. Put it in the bottom of the watering trough, because you know when a cow is drinking, he's looking straight down. Then he said, whenever those cows give birth, hold up that stick, that speckled and spotted stick, hold it up before their eyes. And you know what took place? All of those solid animals all produced speckled and spotted offspring. They produced in their life the images they put before their eyes. The images that they put before their eyes turned into images they had in their mind. And as their mind thought, so it was in their life. I got to thinking about that. And in our creative team meeting, we thought, what better way to illustrate this sermon than to have the most famous speckled and spotted livestock ever represent this message? So we thought naturally of the Chick-fil-A cows. Chick-fil-A cows. And you know, the Chick-fil-A cows are always telling us to eat more chicken. Well, today they're telling us, have more vision. And when you leave out today's service, we were able to network with the man who owned the Chick-fil-A in Flowood, that's right by the new church. He's giving everyone here today a free Chick-fil-A sandwich coupon that is redeemable at his store. And so when you go and take that into him, make sure you tell him thank you. But most importantly, whenever you see these speckled cows, spotted cows, I want you to think, have more vision. Have more vision. These speckled and spotted cows were produced because someone held up a stick before their mother's eyes. So, friends, I'm telling you, have more vision. Not only that, we've got some stuff that we're going to give the kids in preschool and nursery, but eat more chicken, have more vision. But when I first started pastoring, this story of the speckled and spotted offspring and the speckled and spotted sticks, I don't know why, but it caught my attention. I mean, I just meditated on it. In fact, I had always known the story, but I never really had studied it. And I got a hold of a tape series by Reverend Keith Moore. That was done years ago, long before he was ever the Keith Moore people know him today, teaching in healing school. And the tape series was called A Vision of Victory. And he told that story about those cows. I don't know why, it just struck me. But I went back and looked over that story and saw how these speckled and these solid colored cows looked at speckled and spotted sticks daily, hours a week. And what they looked at was produced in their life. And when I studied that out, three things became alive to me. The first thing was, if it'll work for a cow, surely it can work for me. If it'll work for a cow, surely it'll work for me. The second thing that stood out to me was this. It was God's idea. God's the one who gave Jacob this strategy on how to get these solid animals to produce speckled and spotted offspring in their life. And thirdly, it tied in perfectly to the scripture we have here in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. It says, for as he being you, thinketh in your heart, so are you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. I put together, it'd be impossible to think poor thoughts and be rich. It'd be impossible to think healthy thoughts and be sick. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It'd be impossible to think rich thoughts and be poor. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. These cows thought speckled and spots. That's all they could think about, because that's all that was before their eyes, hours a week. And that's what was produced in their life. I got to thinking about that. If it'll work for a cow, surely it'll work for me. And then I came across a story from a man named John, and I'm going to say his last name wrong. I'm just going to butcher it, but it's okay. He's not here today. John Abramoff. I read this story of how years ago, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he tapped into one of these success principles. He was teaching on success. And years and years ago, he created a vision board. And this board was just a little cork board. And on this vision board, he tore off images of what he wanted his life to look like. He'd go through magazines, search the internet, find things that he wanted to see in his life, tear out and cut out these images, and put it up on the cork board. And so he did that, and he filled up a big cork board and hung it on his wall. So the first thing when he got out of bed is he saw that cork board, that vision board, with what he wanted his life to look like. I like that. Not what his, he didn't want to see what his life looked like now. He wanted to see what his life could look like. He put those images up. Well, years went by and he moved twice. And when he moved the first time, he just put the vision board in a box, taped it up and forgot to unpack it, put it in the attic, and he moved two times without ever thinking about that vision board being in the attic. Well, all of a sudden, through the process of life, he got married and had a child, and they moved again into a nice big home. And he took all that, the boxes that were now in the attic out, because now he had room for it to put that stuff up in his house. And he was sitting in his office with that one particular box and opened it up, and his son was there with him. And his son asked him, he said, "Daddy, what is that?" And he pulled it out, and sure enough, it was his vision board. He said, "Oh, son, I made that years ago, this vision board. I made it years ago. And I just would hang it on my wall and see myself having these things." And so he put it on the wall and was just looking over it and thinking about all that he had done in life. And over in the left-hand corner of that board, he looked down, and there was a picture of a home. Picture of a home. He looked at it closely, and he realized that home that he had just bought was that home. He wasn't intentionally trying to buy that home that was on his vision board. He wasn't trying to seek out the home and then purchase it. He wound up living in what he saw himself living in years ago. With the combination of those two stories, the cows looking at those sticks, this man looking at his vision board, I thought, what if in my own life I put together a vision book? And in this book, I tear out pictures and illustrations of what I want my life to look like, the type of possessions I'd like to own, the kind of home I'd like to live in, the type of relationships I'd like to have, the places I'd like to go, the people I'd like to meet, the places I'd like to preach. What if I tore out those images, put it in a book, and then went through and looked at it daily? And so I created it, and we created one for the church. This is the one for the church. But it's just called the Word of Life Church Vision Book. Just a simple three-ring binder. And on the inside of it, it's just little plastic sheets. And we went on the internet and looked through, hey, what do we want our preschool department, our dream preschool department, what do we want it to look like? And so we looked through all these different magazines, searched the internet, and found images of what we want our preschool department to look like. Well, I did the same thing for me personally. And every day I had what I called vision time. During that vision time, I'd see myself with those items, picture my life that way. I got a hold of another story over in the book of Genesis, how the children of Israel, the children of this world were trying to build a tower of Babel up to the heavens. And the Lord spoke and said something over them. He said that what they have imagined in their heart will not be restrained from them. So I said, well, I know to write the vision. I've always done that. But now, instead of just writing the vision of what I want my life to look like, I'm going to find pictures of that vision, and I'm going to look at it daily. Write the vision, make it plain, that they may run that read it. And you know what took place? I probably started this 5 years ago. You know what took place? Slowly but surely, that vision book started to appear in my life. I'll put it another way. My life started to look like that vision book. Little things. In that book, we'd have pots and pans that we'd like to have, like to possess in our home. Someone would come up and give us pots and pans for Christmas or our birthdays. They'd be the exact pans we had in the vision book. We didn't ask for it. They didn't know what to get us. It just showed up. I'd have ties that I'd like to have in the vision book. I'd go through a Robert Talbot little book and cut out the ties. And I'd cut out the ties I'd like to have and just place in the vision book, see myself with them. I'd go to the mailbox. This happened three times. There'd be a package there. I'd open up the package. It'd be the tie. The exact one in the vision book. Didn't ask for it. Didn't ask someone for a tie. They just thought, I had it on my heart to give you a tie. And it wasn't just a tie. It was the exact tie in my vision book. Did I tell the story of the knives first, second, first, did I tell it first service or second, sir? Okay. Me and my wife. My wife, she likes to cook. You know, I'm not a big cooker, but she likes to cook. And she had put in her vision book knives that she wanted. These knives were Wusthof knives. I don't know the difference between a Wusthof knife and a plastic knife, but these were Wusthof knives. And apparently, Wusthof knives are really expensive knives, expensive sharp knives. And she had torn out, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, torn out these Wusthof knives and put them in the vision book. Well, I didn't think anything of it. I'd flip through and see the vision book, but I never really paid attention to it because it wasn't my vision. So I'd just flip it over and go get to my vision. I don't care about the knives, but. Well, this past Thanksgiving, my sister-in-law came over to the house to cook and just have fun at the house there for Thanksgiving. And at the end of the time there, she said, I just feel led to bless you guys with my knives. I didn't think anything of it. But sure enough, I went over there and looked at it, and it was a Wusthof knife set. A Wusthof knife set. We looked at it, and Pep said, those are the ones that are in our vision book. I went to the vision book. It was the exact knife set. Not only that, but the knife set has been discontinued. Not only that, the knife set costs $600. Wusthof knives. But things like that started to show up, started to pop up. I'd put in my vision book amounts that I'd like to give to other ministries. I'd write out the check, sign and date it as that day, sign my name to it, put it in the vision book. All of a sudden, it'd come to where, sure enough, I was able to give it, take the check out of the vision book, and send it off to a ministry. It'd be dated a year or two ago. As a man thinketh. As a man thinketh in his heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. See, people look at their life and they say, this is who I am. They look at it and say, this is who I am. You know, I'm single. I'm 32. I have a job. I have a car. I have an apartment and furniture. This is who I am. No, this is not who you are. That's who you were. That's who you were years ago. You are living in the residual outcome of your past thoughts, actions, and words. And if you want to change your future, you need to work on your future now. Work on it with words, work on it in thoughts, and work on it with your actions. Because all of those things determine your future. You are not who you are now. You're who you were 5, 10 years ago, a year ago with that vision. And friends, I want to encourage you, set that vision out now. Have the vision now so that later you can live in it in your future. I'll put it to you this way. Have you ever driven down a road and you come across just a yard that was just an absolute mess? I mean, the grass was grown up, cars sitting there all in the grass and just looked bad. Have you ever seen a yard like that? Hopefully it's not your driveway. But you ever seen a yard like that that just you could tell it wasn't taken care of? Then have you ever been to a place and the landscaping was absolutely beautiful? Let me ask you, what made the difference? Time that was invested in it. See, friends, I've come to learn this. Anything that's beautiful has time connected to it. You want a beautiful relationship? It's going to take some time, both quality and quantity. You want to have a business that's growing, it's going to take some time. And if you want to have a future that is beautiful, it's going to take some time now. Vision time now. Confession time now. And then that action today goes into your future to make tomorrow better. Vision time. Vision time. Where there is no vision, people perish. Didn't say where there is bad vision, said where there is no vision. Let me ask you, what did you envision yesterday? Where there is no vision, people perish. What did you envision for your business last month? Where there is no vision, people perish. Businesses perish. Nations perish. Countries perish. Not where there's bad vision, where there's no vision. What did you envision for yourself last week? What did you envision for your finances last week? Where there is no vision, not bad vision, no vision. What did you envision for yourself? Where there is no vision, people perish. What are you going to envision today? Well, I'll take today off. Where there is no vision, envision today, vision time. See, those cows all had one thing in common. They looked at those sticks every day. Where there is no vision, people perish. I wonder what would have happened if one of those cows decided to take a month off from looking at that stick. I'll put it to you this way. I was getting ready for the service, and while I was getting ready for the service, I was just thinking about it and studying and praying about it, and the Lord kind of showed me a seed. He said, a vision is like a seed. And he showed me taking that seed and planting it in some soil. Then you come back and you water it and water it and water it. But then a couple of days later, you come up and dig up the seed. Then a couple of days after that, you come back and replant it. Water it, water it, water it, then redig it up. Water it, water it, water it, plant it, redig it up. What would take place to that seed? Nothing. Exactly nothing. What he was showing me was, his vision is like a seed. If you put it in your mind and then get distracted and not think about it, it's the same thing as digging that seed up. But when that seed is kept in that soil and watered daily, daily watering, it will produce what's in that seed. See, within every vision, there is provision. And when that seed gets locked in you, that vision of victory in whatever area of your life, where does vision start from? Ask yourself, what do you want your life to look like? What kind of house do you want to live in? What kind of checks do you want to write to ministries? What kind of relationships do you want to have? What kind of relationships do you want to have with your kids? What kind of grades do you want your kids to make? That's all the starting place for vision. Once you get that vision, write it down. Then imagine yourself. For me, it helps with pictures, to actually have pictures of it. That's why I created the vision book. But keep that vision before your eyes, whether it's by a physical picture or a mental picture. Keep that picture before your eyes. Do it daily, and I guarantee you it will show up in your life. I guarantee you more than, if I could give you back a money-back guarantee, I'd give you back a money-back guarantee. But I promise you, it will work every single time. Where there is no vision, people perish. See, Habakkuk chapter 2 tells us this. Tells us to write the vision and make it plain that they may run that read it. Wait for it, because it says the vision is for an appointed time. But wait for it, for it will surely come. Remember what we said last Sunday? The vision comes to you. It is not your job to make the vision come to pass. It's just your job to have the vision. Once you have the vision and keep the vision and hold on to the vision and water it like you would a little seed, it will produce in your life 100% of the time, guaranteed. I heard a story by a man named Jack Canfield. He wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul and Chicken Soup for Everything Else. You ever heard of Jack Canfield? Maybe you've seen his books, Chicken Soup for Teens and just Chicken Soup Everywhere. He wrote that book. Well, Jack Canfield came from a broken family. His mother died early. His father was very abusive and just came from a really, really broken home. But he went to work for a man named W. Clement Stone. Maybe you've heard of him. W. Clement Stone. He went to work for him. W. Clement Stone was constantly telling them to think of a wild dream. Think of something that was just completely out of the realm of possibilities and begin to set your imagination on that. So he thought, this was a fact, he was making $8,000 a year, not a half a year, not a month, $8,000 a year before taxes. So you can get the picture of where he was at financially in his life. So he thought, man, just a crazy amount of money to make in a year would be $100,000. If I could make $100,000 in a year, that would just be amazing. $100,000 in a year. So then W. Clement Stone would tell him, imagine yourself having it. Picture it. Feel it as if you would feel it. If all of a sudden someone gave you a job with $100,000 that paid $100,000, how would that make you feel? Feel that way now. Feel that way as if you possessed it now. Sounds kind of very similar to Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you believe, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Believe that you received. How would you feel if you believed you received it? Feel that way now. You know one of the best ways to tell whether or not you're in faith? See how you feel. If you feel sad, probably not in faith. He said, feel that way. Imagine yourself having it. And so he thought, $100,000, I know what I'll do. I'll take a dollar bill and act like it's a $100,000 bill. I'll add the zeros and the comma. $100,000 on a $1 bill. He took that $1 bill that he turned into a $100,000 bill just by a pen and taped it to a ceiling. So every morning when he woke up, he saw $100,000. He would picture himself living that $100,000 lifestyle. He said for a couple of months, nothing changed. But then one month, as he was picturing himself having that $100,000, making that amount of money a year, he had an idea. He was sitting, this is what I'm getting at. When you have the vision, the how comes. It's not your job to make the vision come to pass. It's just your job to have the vision. He had an idea. He had a book that he had printed years ago, had 100,000 copies sitting there that no one had ever bought. And so he thought, if I could just sell each book for a dollar, that'd be $100,000. So he just had that thought of, man, I'll sell 100,000 books for a dollar each. Surely people can afford a dollar book. But one day he thought, he was walking through a newspaper stand, and he saw a magazine, the National Enquirer, and he thought, if I could just get in that magazine, that's the audience that would buy my book. He just had that thought. Then he went to go preach for a university, or not preach, but teach for a university up in New York. I forget the name of it. But there were about, 6 to 10 people there listening to his lecture, listening to his talk. At the end of the lecture, a person came up to him and said, I really enjoyed that talk. I'd like to help you out, get more talks around the country. She said, I'm a freelance writer for the National Enquirer. The high will come. It's not your job to make the vision come to pass. It's just your job to have the vision. Then out of that, sure enough, she printed the article. At the end of the year, he didn't make $100,000. He made $93,000. But he said, I didn't take it as it didn't work. So then he thought, what if I change that? What if I change that $100,000 to $1 million? He did the same thing with $1 million bill, taped it to a ceiling. And that year, he had the idea for the book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. At the end of that year, he sold it to a publishing house for $1 million. It's the first $1 million check that publishing house had ever written. They wrote a smiling face by the number. I'd be smiling too. How'd he get there? A man went from making $8,000 a year to within 3 years having a check given to him for $1 million for his work. How did he get there? He had the vision. I'll close with this. Me and my wife, we were out to dinner a couple of years ago. It was Valentine's Day. Out to dinner. When we were out to dinner, we were at Shapley's just having a meal there for Valentine's. And so, we're making small talk. And I asked my wife, I said, where do you think we'll be 5, 10 years from now? Well, where do you think we'll be? And so we started naming. This is where we'll be 5 to 10 years from now. This is what our life will look like. And so we name where we'd like to live and where we'd like to go and visit and preach and where we'd like to see the church and the business and everything else. And so we were talking along those lines. Well, anyway, after the date, we went back to the house. And when I got back to the house, on the inside, it was just grieved, just rubbing. Like I was doing something wrong, just on the inside. Just God was dealing with me, just rubbing me on the inside. And so I went to the Lord, and I asked him, I said, what is that? Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? And this is what the Lord spoke to me. I'll never forget it. And this is what he said. He said, who told you it would take that long? And when he said that, I didn't even think about it. It didn't even make sense to me. I said, what do you mean, who told you it would take that long? He said, at dinner, you and your wife were talking about where you'd like your life to be 5 to 10 years from now. He said, you named off all these things. Who told you it would take that long? Who told you it would take 5 to 10 years for that to come to pass? And I said, well, Lord, no one told me it would take that long. I just assumed the natural progression of things, and 5 to 10 years, that's where our life would be. He said something to me. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. This is what he said. He said, until your wildest dreams become tame, they'll never come true. Until your wildest dreams become tame, they'll never come true. Have you ever seen maybe a wild animal or a wild horse you just couldn't do anything with? But if you spend enough time with that animal, spend enough time invested in that animal, invested in that horse, you could tame that horse. Where you could ride it, where you could enjoy it. There are wild dreams for the guy who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, Jack Canfield. A wild dream was to make $100,000 in a year. He's making $8,000. That's a wild dream. Make $100,000 in a year. It's a wild dream. Just seems impossible. But looking at that dollar bill every day that he wrote out to be $100,000, what was he doing? Taming the vision. He was allowing himself to see it so that when he saw it with his natural eyes, it wasn't unfamiliar to him. In essence, when you've tamed the vision, when it shows up for real in your life, it's familiar. You've been there before. You're not taken by surprise with it. You've tamed the vision. I'll give you one more example and then we'll close. My sister and brother-in-law have had it on their heart for quite some time to be able to have a child. You know, me and my wife, we have two. And they just had it on their heart for quite some time to have a child. Well, they started to try to have a child at the beginning of 2008. Just had it on their heart. Well, pregnancy after pregnancy test kept coming back negative. So they went to the doctor, and the doctor basically told them for several different factors that on a scale from 1 to 100 of her being able to have a child, it was in the negatives. Well, what do you do when that comes back? What do you do when a doctor gives you that report? It's impossible. Aren't you glad that what's impossible with men, it's possible with God? Well, anyway, they just kept at it. They kept at their faith and just said, by the end of 2008, we believe we'll be pregnant. By the end of 2008, we believe we'll be pregnant. It was a wild dream. They had to tame it. Had to bring it into subjection. Tame the vision. Tame the dream. So here's what they did. They knew, you know, I'm a big fan of a vision book. They've seen my vision book. They've heard me talk about it for years now. They have one. And so they took out and found pictures of the type of cribs and things they would like to have, a type of clothes they'd like to have for children's clothes, type of armoire and dressers for kids, and took out pictures of it. They didn't stop there. They picked out a room in their house where the nursery could be, cleaned out the room. Cleared out the room, got to make way for the baby. Faith makes preparations, friends. Cleaned out the room and went and took those pictures of that crib, of that armoire, of those clothes, taped them to where they would be in real life in that room. They went downstairs, went to the bathroom, and with a dry erase marker, wrote on the mirror there scriptures about how they were pregnant. Promises of God that backed it up. The reason why they wrote them on their mirror was that way every morning they'd be reminded. Where there is no vision, people perish. What do you think would have happened to the cows if they skipped today? They wanted it in a place where they wouldn't skip it. So they put it in the mirror where they wouldn't skip it. And they set it over themselves and saw themselves with it every day. Went back to the doctor, still not pregnant. Need to tame that vision. Bring that vision into subjection. So then they thought, you know what? Let's paint the nursery. Go ahead and paint it. So they went ahead and painted the nursery. We asked them, what do you want for Christmas? Baby clothes. Baby gifts. My mom bought my sister a little necklace that said mom. Why? She's a mom. Calling those things that be not. Taming the vision, taming it, taming the vision, seeing themselves with it, seeing the crib, seeing the nursery, taming the vision. Went back mid-December. No, still not pregnant. Still not pregnant. Well, for some reason, on the last night of the year, New Year's Eve, my sister decided she wanted to take a pregnancy test because their faith was on by the end of 2008. We will be pregnant. They saw it. They tamed it. Well, me and my wife were sitting in bed about 11 o'clock trying to go to sleep. I'm too old to be waiting until midnight. I'll have 300 some odd days of 2009. I don't need to lose sleep. Anyway, that's just me. So we were sitting in there just talking and just exciting, just about a new year, a new start, about 11 o'clock. And I keep seeing this light go off in my bathroom. I'm thinking, what in the world is that? What in the world is that light? I'm thinking maybe just cars driving by, but that light keeps coming in my bathroom. Well, I went into the bathroom, and sure enough, it was my cell phone. I'd had it on vibrate, so it was just lighting up, and, you know, it wasn't ringing, it was just lighting up. Well, I saw I had 12 missed calls from Hope, 8 from my mama, and 3 from Ryan. So I picked up the phone, called Ryan, and Hope had taken 2 pregnancy tests, and it came back positive. She is pregnant. I had a shirt. The reason why I'm wearing a t-shirt is I had a shirt that said, I'm going to be an uncle. But it malfunctioned. I took off my jacket this morning. All the letters fell off for first service. I'm going to be an uncle. Hope's going to be a mama. Ryan's going to be a daddy. The power of vision. They tamed it. They tamed it. They took what the world called impossible for them and tamed it. Tamed it. It showed up in their life. What if people said it's impossible for you? What would be impossible? Amount of money. Kind of relationship with your spouse. Check to give to the new bill. What would be impossible for you? It's not impossible if you tame it. How do you tame it? Do exactly what they did. See yourself with it. Confess towards it. Spend time on your future. It's manicuring that garden. Then you come back and other people say, man, isn't that beautiful? It's because it's been tamed. It's been tamed. Friends, I want to encourage you. Write the vision. What do you want your life to look like? Find out. Write it down. Look at it every day. Tame it until you can see it as if it's yours right now. With my vision book, we picked out pictures of the perfect house. I walked in the house that we're living in now, and as soon as I crossed the doorway, I knew it was my house. You know how I knew it was my house? I'd been there before. I'd seen those wood floors before. I'd seen those doorknobs before. I'd seen that shower before. I'd seen that living room before. Where did I see it? I saw it in my vision book and saw it in my mind. As soon as we saw that house, and we weren't even house shopping, as soon as we saw that house, I turned to my realtor, said, put my house up for sale, I'm buying this house. It's the first house we saw that day. She said, don't you want to look at other houses? I said, no, this is my house. She said, how do you know? I said, you don't want to know. I've been here before. I've been here before. My house sold in 3.5 weeks. All the other homes on the that were for sale at that same time, this was a year and a half ago, not one of them has sold. Not one of them has sold. What happened? For 4 years, I tamed the vision. Saw myself with it. Got into my house I'm living in now for less money than the house I was living in before. How did I do it? Taming the vision. Oh, I've had fun preaching to you today. I want to encourage you. When you see the Chick-fil-A cows, think, eat more chicken and have more vision. I know you won't forget, but don't forget to get your free sandwich coupon at the doors, and make sure that you can redeem it at the one in Flowood out there. Make sure you tell them thank you from Word of Life. And the guy gave it to us all for free, and we can thank Ed and Dana Trim for having that contact and working with them. But we're just so thankful to that Chick-fil-A out there. Make sure you say thank you. People don't say thank you enough, and that's why their lives are in a mess. So say thank you to God, and thank you to people who bless you. Amen. I've had fun today. Every head bowed, every eye closed.